We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
Looking to buy your dream home? Or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
AIDA for sleeping with the woman my fiancé despised after she cheated on me? I work at a big financial firm in the U.S., and not to brag, but I do pretty well for myself, tons of room to grow, and all this at just 32. About 6 years ago, at this industry conference, I started chatting with this woman sitting next to me. We just clicked. A few months later, we started dating and have been solid ever since. She just turned 30 a few days ago, but obviously, with how things went down, there was no birthday call, no happy birthday, nothing. Actually, it was on her 29th birthday that I popped the question, and she said yes right away. A small smile still creeps onto my face remembering that, cause it was one of the best days of my life, and I'm sure hers too. But that's all curdled now, aged like milk left out in the sun. Anyway, I asked her to marry me. She said yes, we got engaged. Happy times, right? Now, I don't know if I'm the only one who's dealt with this, but when you're with women who are kinda shy about dishing their romantic histories with their friends, you, the boyfriend, end up being the sounding board for all those stories. It's happened to me in two different relationships, and this was one of them. I figure most guys don't want to constantly hear stories about every dude their girlfriend, fiancé, or wife has been with, just like I don't spill the beans to any woman about who I've slept with. Regardless, it happened a bunch of times before I finally told her I didn't want to keep hearing her TMI tales, but by then, I'd already gotten an earful about her most recent ex. I think it's fair to know about exes in a new relationship, but I don't need the R-rated details. The guy's name was Chris, and they had a pretty toxic thing going, but he was so good in bed. Sure, we'd already been intimate by then, and I couldn't help but wonder if I measured up. Maybe fewer fireworks for me. Supposedly, the only thing that kept her in that dumpster fire of a relationship was the intimacy, which, I admit, was a red flag for me. But she was younger.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Then, and, well, let's just say a bit more naive, so I let it slide. That's the necessary setup for what's coming. I heard a lot about Chris in the early days of our relationship, but after a while, crickets. I figured she'd finally gotten over him, and that was good enough for me. I stopped hearing his name around the 2-year mark, even randomly. Fast forward to after the engagement. My fiancé, Sandy, and I were already deep in wedding planning. We both come from pretty comfortable families. I wouldn't say I grew up rich, but I've been told I can be a little out of touch, and I accept my perspective might not be the most reliable. Anyway, both sets of parents wanted something relatively big. I was cool with something simple, just friends and family, no great aunts I haven't seen since I was in diapers. But everyone, Sandy included, wanted it to be a huge spectacle, so I caved and let them run with it. This is where it gets juicy. I admit, at the time, my world imploded, but like I said, I try to look at it with a bit of dark humor now. We were looking for a wedding venue, and everyone wanted something super scenic. A private beach, some historic chapel from the 1800s, city hall, you name it. Luckily, I made it clear I was fine with a standard event hall downtown, but they told me I had no vision, so I told them to handle the venue search. I wasn't going to stress over something I didn't really care about. Sandy told me she was going to check out 3 places with a friend, and I was totally fine with it. I had no reason to object. She'd already gone with a friend for catering tastings and to look at dresses, so what was one more thing? That day, she told me she'd visited some places with her friend and that she'd fallen in love with an old church. She said she'd go see it again with the same friend a few days later, just to make sure she still liked it. I told her that was cool, since I didn't care about the venue and no alarm bells were ringing for me. Eventually, she saw the church again with her friend and they decided that was the spot. We booked it, with a deposit due in 30 days. I paid it, and the venue was locked in. Everything was moving along smoothly. In the following weeks, preparations were chugging along, and we hadn't spent a ton of money yet. I was lucky things blew up when they did, because one day, when my fiancé went to sign for a delivery, she left her phone on the kitchen island, and what do I see? A notification from Chris. You there, babe? I was seriously tempted to snoop through her messages, but she came back in seconds with the package. I had no confirmation it was the same Chris, but if there was another Chris calling her babe, that might be even worse. I managed to keep my cool, because I know how guys can be. It could be a persistent ex using pet names and hitting on her, and she could be totally shutting him down. As long as she didn't know I knew, I could wait for a better opportunity. And that opportunity came about 10 days later, when her friend came to pick her up to look at floral arrangements. She forgot her phone, which was perfect for me. She could have come back for it, but I wasn't going to waste the chance. I grabbed it, went straight to her texts, and searched for Chris. They were talking a lot. Messages were flying back and forth, even about the wedding. He mentioned how beautiful the venue was and said they should go again. Just the two of them, not for wedding stuff. So he was the friend she went to see the church with. At that moment, I remembered she never actually gave me a name, and she usually did. It was with her ex, no less. The same Chris I hadn't heard a peep about for years. The same Chris who was so good in bed. So I kept reading, and, yep, I got to the X-rated parts. There were tons of steamy messages, as explicit as you can imagine, all in text, but they also swapped photos. I had to scroll back quite a bit, but it was right around the second trip to the church. From then on, the conversation stayed clean, except for cutesy nicknames. I couldn't tell for sure if they'd slept together from the texts alone, but she clearly didn't regret whatever they'd done, because they were still talking frequently. She practically had him on speed dial. That's when I heard the front door open. For a split second, I considered putting the phone down. I really thought about it. I considered acting like I wasn't doing anything, but you know what? I told myself, screw that. I let her walk in and see me with her phone in my hand. As soon as our eyes met, I saw her eyes go wide, and she practically sprinted towards me, trying to stammer out a light. What are you doing? When she reached my side, she saw the chat with Chris open on her phone. I just looked at her from where I was sitting. She struggled for words. I could see her lips trying to move. You went through my phone? Seriously? Yep. She tried to make me out to be the bad guy. Her response ticked me off so much that all I did was laugh. I think I even seemed a little unhinged, because she took a step back. I had no idea, I told her. Your lover boy sent a message when you went to sign for the package the other day. I saw the notification, and that's why I checked your phone. I had every right to, So don't even try to flip this on me. Because if everything had gone your way, I would have stayed an ignorant fool while you kept cheating on me with Chris. She started stammering, saying it wasn't what it looked like. I know you slept together, I blurted out, even though it was a bluff, but I had a strong gut feeling. She denied it immediately, but I stood my ground and told her to stop lying. She denied it again, and I put her phone on the table, pushing it towards her. I can't marry a liar. That's when she broke down, wailing and telling me it was only once. I laughed again. Only once, and you were still texting him. It was a mistake, baby. I made a mistake. She kept repeating while trying to touch me, but I pushed her away. That phrase struck me as hilarious because it was only a mistake because I found out. Otherwise, she would have continued with me and her ex on the side. She would have married me and probably kept sleeping with him. Thinking about how far things could have gone if I hadn't found out was seriously disturbing. I had no clue about any of it. I trusted her completely, and it was only because of that one notification that everything unraveled. It was infuriating just thinking about it. I got up, went to the bedroom, and pulled her suitcase out of the closet. She followed me, and when she saw me packing her things, she burst into tears again. She started begging me through her sobs, but I was done. Imagining I was planning a wedding with her seemed insane. Give me the ring back. If you had seen her face at that moment, it was like she'd seen a ghost. I think that's when, despite everything, she realized the sheer scale of her screw-up. She realized the real consequences. I had my hand outstretched in front of her for a good 2 minutes before she finally took off the ring and put it in my hand. She didn't even fight it, and that made me happy because I was running out of patience. After haphazardly stuffing some of her stuff in the suitcase, I handed it to her and told her to get out of the house. She left silently. That night, I locked the door, turned off all the lights, and got hammered. The next morning, I woke up to a ton of missed calls, some from her, others from her parents, and even some from my parents. Obviously, she had already told them the wedding was off, but I doubted she had told them why. Almost certainly not, I figured at the time. Honestly, I didn't feel like talking to anyone, because they would just pity me or tell me that Sandy and I could work through this, and I didn't want to hear any of that. During the day, some people came knocking on the door, but I didn't answer, and eventually, they left. It wasn't until the next day that I created a group text and added both sets of parents, Sandy, and her siblings. I wrote a very long message detailing absolutely everything that had happened, with as much detail as I felt like sharing at that moment. I didn't care that her parents were in the group or that mine were too. If they were going to have an opinion on the state of the almost canceled wedding, they needed to know exactly where I was coming from. So, yeah, I told them absolutely everything. The group was silent for a whole hour after that, although I saw that several had already read the message, including my ex-fiancé. The first sign that someone really got it was when my father called me. I remember exactly what he said. "Son, I'm so sorry. You made the right call. It's gonna hurt like hell, but it was the right thing to do." That stuck with me, because a weaker man might have caved when the pain became unbearable, but I didn't even consider it. Every time I remembered that, throughout the day I received messages and calls. Some I answered, others I ignored, but it was clear that everyone knew the whole story and there was no point in trying to talk me out of it, because my decision was made. That was, essentially, the last time our wedding plans were actively discussed. As far as I know, her parents never tried to convince me otherwise, and I assumed they at least had the good sense to know their daughter had completely blown it. But the problem is, that wasn't enough for me. It really wasn't. I needed Sandy to suffer like I did, because calling off an engagement wasn't a real punishment for her if it was just the logical fallout of her actions. My first thought was to get revenge on Chris, but I had no idea how. I had no real dirt on him. I hoped Sandy wouldn't want anything to do with him anymore, since he was the source of all the humiliation and pain she experienced. After all, her immediate family knew she was a cheater, and that was satisfying. It probably would have been smart to go online and ask for ideas on how to get back at Chris, but honestly, I wasn't in the best headspace. I hope you can understand. So I let it go, even though I didn't want to. However, the real person I needed to get revenge on was Sandy, and I had a plan. Look, we weren't together anymore. Anyone I decided to sleep with from that moment on was fair game, even if it was her sister. No, I wasn't planning on sleeping with her sister. I'm just making a point. The thing was, I wanted to make sure it hurt her badly, so I had two options. sleep with the people she loved the most or with those she hated the most. Given how our relationship had cratered, all her best friends already knew what had happened, and that path would be trickier. But the people she hated, that was a different kind of evil. Think about it. How would you feel if your partner slept with that annoying coworker you can't stand? You'd hate them even more, but it would also sting you, because you'd be sharing your partner with the last person on earth you would have picked. That was my logic. So I started thinking about coworkers my ex-fiancé had complained a lot about. Number one on the list was Sophia, whom she hated because she thinks she's all that, which, in girl code, surely meant she felt threatened by her. That could mean she was hot, and that got me interested. There was also an ex-college classmate named Melissa. They used to be friends, but Melissa slept with one of Sandy's exes, and they had a massive blowout. Sandy had hated her ever since. Finally, I remembered a Japanese girl named Toki, and Sandy explicitly said, "I hate her because she acts all delicate and sweet, and guys drool over her like idiots." My list had a few other names, but let's skip to the important part. Either I couldn't find them online, or I couldn't seal the deal. Sophia wasn't hard to find. They work at the same company, so LinkedIn was a huge help. From there, I found her Instagram and slid into her DMs. I use Instagram a lot, and, without sounding conceited, my profile is pretty appealing to those who like a bit of a luxury lifestyle. I had plenty of shots in great outfits, my Audi was in several photos, and also some vacations I'd taken. When I followed Sophia, she followed me back within minutes. I sent her a message, laid on my usual charm, and clearly, you could tell she was interested. We texted for another day, until I asked her if she wanted to go out, and she said yes. That day, I made sure to take several photos of her and with her, and that she looked spectacular in all of them. And, yes, that date ended very well, if I do say so myself. Next was Melissa. At that point, I realized I was putting in a lot of effort just for revenge, but I was already committed. Melissa lived in another state, but I still hit her up on Instagram. The problem was, and I didn't see this coming, she recognized me, my ex-fiancé, and she weren't speaking anymore. But apparently, Melissa kept tabs on her life, maybe out of spite or something, and I was clearly on her social media. She knew who I was. So I went with honesty. I told her I had broken up with Sandy. She replied, "Good. I hated her." And then immediately, "Oh, sorry, you must still love her." I told her no, I didn't love her, and I was looking for someone to share that hatred with. Right after that, Melissa initiated a voice call with me, which I found a bit odd. We talked about my ex-fiancé, and at one point I said out loud, "I want to get revenge on her." And Melissa, apparently a pro at relationship demolition, said, "Could you sleep with me?" At that moment, I understood why Sandy hated her, but that only worked in my favor. Arranging it was incredibly easy. I flew out for a weekend, we went bowling and did some sightseeing in her city. Again, I made sure to get enough photographic evidence for my plan. Afterwards, we went to her place and had our fun. She even let me take some pretty suggestive photos. Apparently, the bad blood between them ran much deeper than I knew. Finally, it was Toki's turn. I got lucky with her because I found her on Tinder. I had no idea what she looked like, but the name Toki wasn't common in my area. We matched immediately, and I messaged her. She was pretty slow to text back, and when I asked her out, she said she wouldn't be free that week. It took me a while to make it happen, especially since it took 3 dates for anything to go down, but I got my photos, of course, all with her consent. It took me exactly 6 weeks to pull all this off, and, I'm not going to lie, I did wonder if I was some kind of psycho for going to all that trouble just for revenge, but I knew I'd feel much better in the end, so I pushed those thoughts aside. One day, I sent Sandy a message out of the blue. It took her a long time to reply, but eventually, she did. We went through some awkward hellos, and I told her I wanted to see her, though I didn't tell her why. I'm sure that gave her hope. She told me she could be ready in 15 minutes, but I insisted on meeting in 3 hours. I wanted to drive her crazy with anticipation. No, we weren't getting back together, but you can bet that's what was going through her head. Finally, the time came, and I met her in a park. She arrived before me, which wasn't a surprise, as I took as long as possible getting ready. She got up to hug me, and I let her. It was easier to give her hope if I wasn't too cold. We made some small talk until I took out my phone and sent her several files. I told her to look at them. Her neutral expression changed to a grimace of disgust as she opened the photos. The first face she saw was Sophia's, and she said, "Why are you showing me this?" But before I could answer, she swiped to the next photo, where Sophia and I appeared together. She kept swiping past Sophia's photos until she reached Toki's. Toki was a lot of fun to hang out with, I told her, completely nonchalantly. I saw tears welling up in Sandy's eyes as she continued to look. Then she saw Melissa. First a video of Melissa and me bowling, then a more explicit one. She literally watched that video 3 times before I told her. None of these women were the monsters you made them out to be. In fact, they were all much better than you, especially where it counted the most. She exploded. She stood up and started screaming insults. She was pointing her finger at me like a lunatic, and I wondered if at some point she was going to try to hit me, but she just screamed and screamed, calling me a bastard, trash, etc. Honestly, I zoned out a bit, because I was enjoying how she was shaking with rage. At one point she said, "You acted like you were some kind of saint, but you're worse than me." That's where I stopped her. I wasn't the one who reconnected with her ex, slept with him, kept sending inappropriate messages to him, and all while being engaged. I'm not engaged anymore, and that's because of everything you did. So, if you're angry, you can only be angry with yourself. I said all that calmly and stood up. Really, you can only be angry with yourself, Sandy. This is simply what you deserved. She started crying again, and this time she seemed truly devastated. But for me, that was it. Seeing that expression was my closure. I truly felt I had done what I needed to. Since then, I haven't heard from her again, not even when she turned 30, but, to be honest, I prefer it that way. I don't know if this is practical advice for anyone, but I don't think any woman is above cheating, because that's what I thought about my ex-fiancé, and I was dead wrong. If you can sign a prenup, do it. I was lucky to get out of this mess before marriage, and the only thing I can say as final advice is, always stay alert. If you need to check their phone, do it, especially if you have a reasonable suspicion. It's not worth living with someone who gives you trust issues. I managed to get out of my situation, and for all you guys out there, young and old, I hope you can too. If you liked it, don't forget to leave a comment and support the channel by subscribing. See you in the upcoming stories.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.